Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. 6:10. Welcome to the welcome to the program. Yes, I'm going. Let me adjust a few things here. All right. Yes, I'm going. I feel like I'm adjusted now.
Baby. Yes, I'm going to ask if you needed help. But.
Yeah, I was going to say. Help a brother out. We'll get to the top six and six in just a second. Tell you what's coming up on the show today. Nick will break down his list of movies, the top 20, the final list from 2017. It's like taking out your Christmas lights. At some point, you have to put away your 2017 lists.
Yeah, that's true. And then the Oscar nominations are coming out soon.
Is that this week?
I think it is. I'm going to look it up.
We all have to vote in the Screen Actors Guild Awards by tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
Is it noon tomorrow, Dave?
I think it might be, sometime around midday. I've got it written down somewhere. Yeah.
They're being announced. Oh, wait.
And also coming up on the program today, Senator Durbin. Pat Brady is here. Eric Edelstein will be here later. Chuck Todd, of course. Always nice to have Chuck on the show. John Williams will invade the program later. I'm looking forward to checking in with Edzo. Eddie Olchek later. Your boyfriend will be on the program.
I can't wait to talk to him. Tuesday the 23rd, Steve, is when the Oscar nominations are coming out.
Tuesday the 23rd. That'd be next Tuesday. Okay. Let's go. Top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Get your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60-Minute Man.
Item number one, a lawsuit is accusing U.S. Steel of repeatedly polluting Lake Michigan with toxic chromium and not caring. Just going, there's a lake there. Do we know what their response is yet?
No, not yet. That U.S. Steel, it's a federal lawsuit. U.S. Steel has reportedly done this for several years now. They have a right to challenge it now. They have 60 days to challenge it. And this, as you said, affected many, many of the beaches because obviously all of the different beaches flow into Lake Michigan at least four times since 2013, Steve. And we're talking about 300 pounds of hexavalent chromium. Which is the toxic
version. Wait, you said hexavalent chromium.
Hexavalent chromium. That is the metal made famous.
I have that in my chemistry set.
That's the metal made famous by the movie Aaron Brockovich.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Oh, didn't know that. Item number two, Apple is bringing some money back. The company plans to repatriate a majority of $2 billion in cash that it held abroad, capitalizing on the new tax law. This is what Donald Trump and the economy... experts within the White House had to say this part of their plan is coming true, so they need to be recognized for that. Apple says they will build a second campus. Mayor Rahm Emanuel said Chicago is ready if Apple wants to build it here. By the way, we don't appear to be the winners of the new Amazon headquarters. That's not been announced yet, but we're no longer considered one of the top three.
Correct, unfortunately, but you are correct.
Next! Yesterday, General Kelly, the chief of staff for the president, said in public and in private that the president's campaign views and his presidential views have evolved in regards to what's realistic and what's unrealistic in an immigration policy, and that includes the wall. The president responded this morning on Twitter with this: "The wall is the wall. It has never changed or evolved from the first day I conceived of it. Parts will be, of necessity, see-through. And it was never intended to be built in areas where there is natural protection, such as mountains, wastelands, or tough rivers or water. The wall will be paid for directly or indirectly, or through longer-term reimbursement by Mexico, which has a ridiculous $71 billion trade surplus with the U.S. The $20 billion wall is peanuts compared to what Mexico makes from the U.S. NAFTA is a bad joke. Well, there's a lot of ADD in this tweet.
Completely. You're talking about three different topics right there.
Right. So he is basically taking on what his own chief of staff said yesterday and saying that his own chief of staff, without naming General Kelly, is full of, what would the word be here that the president would use? Hooey? And we'll see how that plays out in any sort of public fight today. Next, five Catholic schools in Chicago set to close. Several parishes merging. St. Cyprian School in River Grove, Holy Cross in Deerfield, Incarnation School in Palos Heights, Our Lady of the Ridge School in Chicago Ridge, and St. Michael School in Chicago's far south side will permanently close June 30th, the last day of this school year. This is not a shock, but the final announcement wasn't made until, I guess, last night.
And last night, absolutely. They were emailed and notified. Each of these schools, though, Steve, had fewer than 150 students, maybe about 100 right. students enrolled totally, and they're going to merge several other parishes, too. So it's not as though they're going away completely. They're going to be merging parishes in River Grove and Elmwood Park, too.
Then there's this. Brian Urlacher, just on the show last week. Of course, we didn't discuss this. Brian Urlacher's baby mama, the mother of his son, and he have been fighting for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
Ugly split up, and there's been words back and forth. Now she is suing Brian Urlacher for $125 million in a defamation lawsuit. I don't know the specific comments, Dave. Are you aware of what they might be?
The suit alleges that that Urlacher and his attorneys and the Chicago Tribune mm-hmm. conspired to paint a picture of the plaintiff as a bad mother, unfit, and a killer.
I got to tell you, the Chicago Tribune does not have meetings with any current or former member of the Chicago Bears on how to best get involved in their divorce or breakup or palimony settlements of any kind.
I don't think so.
How it works.
David Hall, the columnist for the Tribune, is apparently named in the suit.
Oh, I'd sue Hall. I'd sue him left and right. No, the fact of the matter is the Tribune is added because everybody with deep pockets are targeted in a situation mm-hmm. like this.
Right.
There may be some sort of out-of-court settlement. I'm sure it won't be $125 million, and I'm sure the Tribune won't pay a nickel. Next. Chicago's first Culver's is going to open within the city limits. About 10 feet from your house, I think.
I know. Bronzeville, I believe.
Okay, 20 feet.
Yeah, exactly, right? Good butter burgers, though.
Mm. And those concrete mixers.
As opposed to bad butter burgers?
Yeah, that's true. There's no bad butter burger.
I don't even eat butter burgers, but even I know that.
Yeah, sure. So Culver's is opening on Martin Luther King Drive South.
Yeah, South Shore Bronzeville neighborhood, yeah.
Is that closer to the UC campus?
Yes, it actually is, and University of Chicago as well.
I like to get a small concrete mixer with three scoops of Andy's Candies.
Hold on, do you actually get one, or do you think about getting one?
I think about it a lot, but I do occasionally actually get one.
Wow.
Usually it has to be after a 90-minute yoga class.
We have determined in the past that Sandberg thinks about eating things but doesn't actually eat them. And she was upset about the Rock and Roll McDonald's closing because she liked to drive by it and think about stopping.
I know.
They should have built the Culver's closer to your house.
Closer to my house would be nice. But I've got
a few. Must have
I've
a Culver's close to your house?
Somewhat, yeah. There's one closer to my parents' house. So I'll go out there, in the one in Libertyville.
Which one do you like to drive by the most?
The one in Libertyville.
Yeah, I thought so, too.
And that's I make big plans. Sometimes I'll tell myself, ooh, maybe you'll get a small french fry, or the fried chicken is really good as well. And then I always just end up with the small mixer with three scoops of Andy's Candies.
Do you have theme nights? Like maybe Friday night is maybe I'll drive by a pizza place night?
Yes. I like to make a lot of, so that I don't obsess about the food.
No.
I give myself the, okay, Mary, you can get this if you want. And then hopefully my brain will win out and do you really want to make that decision? No, I don't.
Yeah. Now, here's an interesting thing that happens whenever Sandberg's on the show. Texters at 312-981-7200 break down into, wow, she's nuts, and she thinks just like I think.
I know. I think there's a lot of people, though.
Who think like you think?
I do.
Well, it's easier for you to live in that world.
You have a lot of closet sympathizers, because the people will come out of the woodwork mm-hmm. and now show you texts, and you'll be like, oh, yeah.
Speaking of people that sympathize with me, for my birthday, I don't think I posted a photo. I'll put one up on our Steve Cochran Show Facebook page.
We wanted a gallery of everything, including whatever went on in the hotel room, okay. dinner, the
right.
whole deal.
No, we saw you blowing out the birthday cake
yeah.
candle.
Oh, yeah, you saw that's on my Facebook page. But here at the station, Stephanie and Todd got me cookies.
Those would be the bosses.
Bounty paper towel cookies. Yes.
And a dishwasher, or wasn't it a washing machine as well?
Yes, there were some washing machines in there too.
Yeah.
You may not have even seen those.
Oh, I didn't see the washing machine. Yeah, I just saw the paper towels and the
square washing machines.
Oh, somebody ate those before I got to them.
Wasn't me.
Me neither.
I just walked by the box and thought about eating them.
Tasted like soap.
Yeah, a little bit. A little soapy.
Those cookies were
anyway, I'm going to post soapy. That picture. I'm going to post it on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page. All even right, though it's not a great photo of me. But
well, that's big of you. Also on Twitter, at Cochran Show as well. All right, let's do traffic right after Andrea tells us. I'm sorry?
Close the top six.
Oh, the top six. Thank you.
This is good.
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men. Normally, that's a voice in my head.
That was right? Great. We all got to share that moment,
yeah.
Steve.
Yeah. Wasn't that good?
Another night with nothing to do. We can't get stuck at home again. What to see? What's out at the show? I need to know the place and when. But there's one guy on GN's Cochran Show, and what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night. DiGiulio, he knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
That's the collaboration of John and Christopher DeCoste. We will, even though, again, Sandberg and John hoped I'd forgotten, we will be having the John Sings a Song for You contest coming up. Maybe we can do that for Valentine's Day, like a love song for somebody.
That'd be awesome.
Hey, Sandberg, try to remember that I just said this. We're going to do a John Sings a Valentine song, an original Valentine song that's obviously a ripoff, for somebody for Valentine's Day. Right, but the contest doesn't have to be a winner. The winner doesn't have to happen on Valentine's Day.
And could've we'll remind
before.
You.
Matter of fact, we should award them before so they have time to play it. As a setup for Holiday Nookie.
Yes, because we'll be in Vegas. They could play it on Valentine's
Day.
Was
I in a band called Holiday Nookie? I think I may have been.
Or was that your stripper name?
It could have been at one point, yes. Nick DiGiulio joins us. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I don't know if your producer Dan ever does this to you, but Sandberg, one of the ways she controls the show is I'll come up with a brilliant idea that I think is brilliant, and then I'll forget about it 14 seconds after I say it. And then she'll not want to deal with the fact that she didn't like the idea to begin with. So she'll just hope I forget. And 99% of the time I do.
Yeah. Well, when I come up with an idea, Dan just goes, that sucks.
Well, that's one way of handling it.
Yeah.
All right. Movies for the weekend. 12 Strong looks interesting.
Yeah, it's the first sort of the first wave of U.S. Special Forces teams that were sent into Afghanistan right after September 11th, and this follows a group of soldiers who are sent in to Afghanistan and are outnumbered and outgunned and have to ride horseback to go after the Taliban. And
I don't want to give away anything in the movie, so don't answer if it does for what you know. But the horses were because we hadn't even had time to get equipment in at that point.
Well, yeah, and that's how. And that's in fact, you know, another thing though was that's how the Taliban traveled too, and so it was easier to not be seen if you were on horseback. Chris Hemsworth, Michael Shannon, Michael Pena, really great cast. I hear good things about it. I'm going to see it this weekend. So,
item number two is Den of Thieves. What are we talking about here?
It's a bank robbery movie. It's 2.5 hours long, and it stars Gerard Butler and 50 Cent. So I think we know what we're talking about here.
All right. My top 10 movies of 2017. And again, Nick, I said this a moment ago, much like Christmas Lights, this is probably our last 2017 list. Because at some point, you got to take them down.
Yeah. I mean, well, we didn't. I just did it on Monday morning on my show.
All right. What is it comes at night?
It comes at night. Number 10 on my list. It comes at night. A horror movie.
Number nine was Raw.
A horror movie about cannibalism.
Number 8 was Lady Bird.
which we all know is a wonderful movie with Saoirse Ronan, coming-of-age movie, wonderful mother and daughter relationship, a terrific film.
Awesome movie.
Number seven, I, Tonya. We sort of have mixed reviews on the show for I, Tonya.
I love it.
Me too.
I love it.
I was generally a fan. I think there's some things that, I wasn't crazy about, but I, Tonya, I would recommend. I would recommend you see it if you live through that period of time, or if you have any idea who Tonya Harding is.
Or if you bumped into her in Norway.
Yeah.
Yes. What was the circumstance again? You were just walking down the street.
I was walking down the street, and she was walking the other way eating popcorn.
And that's when the affair started?
Okay, Steve.
Quick question for Nick. I love this movie so much, too. Nick, what is this? What's the genre of that when they do, like, how they set it up? Is it like a fake documentary? I just love that style of filmmaking.
Well, first of all, the real unique thing about this movie is that the writer actually talked to Gillooly and talked to Harding, and neither of their stories matched up. So they decided, well, the hell with it. We'll just make it two completely different stories.
Right.
He maintains it went down one way. She maintains it went down the other way. And so they decided to break the fourth wall and do it as a, you know, one of the things I loved about it most, besides the performances, because I think Margot Robbie and especially Allison Janney are amazing in it, but it really is stylistically very much as if Scorsese would direct a movie about Tonya Harding. That's how I feel this one went.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? Because it's kind of a thing unto itself. Dramatic, and it's a docudrama, and it's a documentary. It's all those things. Here's my problem, my general problem with it. I think, Andre, you and I talked about this. In the first shot of the movie, you see her crazy mother with a bird on her shoulder.
Right.
And there's a lot of acting in the movie where you go, wow, there's just no possible way. One of which is it's incredibly funny. Sean Stant, is that his name?
Yeah, the bodyguard.
Who firmly, not necessarily believes, but he tells everybody he's in counterterrorism.
Right.
And you're thinking, no way, no way, no way. All right, at the end of the movie, they show news clips.
Legit news clips.
Tonya's mom with a bird on her shoulder. And Sean, the bodyguard, in a patrol car, talking to a reporter, going, well, I'm mostly in counterterrorism. I almost think you got to show those up front so people get it.
Every scene with the Sean character is hilarious.
Yeah.
Every single scene. Oh.
Totally.
So anyway, that's number seven. We got to fly through these. A Ghost Story at 6?
Yep. A terrific movie. Casey Affleck dies and comes back as a ghost with a sheet over his head. And it's a very, very crazy movie.
Mother at 5.
Mother is the movie that everybody hated that I loved with Jennifer. Why am I blanking on her name now? It's Aronofsky's movie. Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem. Insane movie that everybody hated, but I think it's one of the best of the year.
3 Billboards at 4, obviously. Baby Driver at 3, one of my favorite movies of the year by far. I'd put it in my top 3 as well. And just a cool, stylistic, funky, great movie, great story, great stars, and Kevin Spacey's in it. Oh, boy. Phantom Thread at 2. This is out this weekend.
Opens wide this weekend. It's been out for a couple of weeks, but it opens wide this weekend. Daniel Day-Lewis is amazing in it. It is weird and wonderful. And if you see it, this is the kind of movie that I like as a romantic film because it's really twisted and sick.
Hard to believe you've been married a couple of times.
I love this movie. It's a tremendous film.
Colossal at number 1.
Colossal number 1. Anne Hathaway plays an alcoholic who goes back to a small town after getting kicked out of her boyfriend's house. She goes back to the small town and encounters her old friends and realizes that when she gets drunk and walks through a park, a giant Godzilla-like monster appears over Seoul, Korea, and destroys the city.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
And it is not only a really great original movie with one of the most original ideas that you could ever imagine, and not only is it a very cool giant monster movie, it is also, without question, and this is the reason I chose it, because it really, really affected. I've seen it 7 times, and it's really affected me.
Well, how many times?
Deeply and personally. Seven times.
Holy cow.
It is, without question, and I know this might sound weird, it's without question one of the most accurate and perhaps one of the best portrayals of alcoholism and codependency I've ever seen in my life. It's a movie that knocks me for a loop every time I see it. I know it sounds silly. Oh, it's giant monster killing people. But it is a deep and significant film that says so much about alcoholism and codependency. And it has a final shot that is just amazing. It's a movie that, you know, if a lot of people really like this movie, but this one affected me the most of any movie that I've seen personally, without question. Colossal affected me the most.
And you know how much we salute your continued strong discipline. Stay the course.
Thanks,
my friend. Plug the film club real quick for me.
One of the greatest movies ever made, The Philadelphia Story. Jimmy Stewart, Cary Grant, and Katharine Hepburn. It doesn't get better than that. It's Tuesday, February 6th. Starts at 8 o'clock. Have some dinner at 7. AMC Rosemont, formerly MovieCo, and you can get your tickets at amctheaters.com. Free popcorn.
And you're on Back on the Radio tonight.
Yep, 2 a.m. Yep.
All right, buddy. And follow Nick on Facebook. He has a throng of followers. Why wouldn't you be one of them? What's your problem? Thanks, buddy. 312-981-7200. Texters and callers, you go there. On Twitter for me at Cochran Show, and Facebook, Steve Cochran Show. Headlines next.
Folks, you can debate all you want about the president's recent language, but you cannot debate what it seemingly reveals about his core beliefs, that white Europeans are good and brown immigrants are bad.
A new celebrity power couple has been born. Aaron Rodgers and Danica Patrick are dating.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It is 6:44. Chuck Todd, the podcast is 1947 from Meet the Press. You should listen to that. You'll be smarter and more entertained. MTP Daily on MSNBC. And, of course, Meet the Press on Sunday mornings. And Chuck Todd joins us now. Chuck, I have great news.
Yeah.
I just finished my physical with Dr. Ronnie Jackson. I weigh 165 pounds. I feel fantastic.
I have to say, if we could all use the scale that Dr. Ronnie Jackson uses, I think we'd all feel better about ourselves.
I had no idea how good I felt until Dr. Ronnie got done with me.
Boy, in all seriousness, though, every other doctor that's looked at the president, very concerned about his health.
Well,
you know, that's somebody who is certainly susceptible to heart disease.
Sure.
And he doesn't seem to be concerned about it.
That's the thing that I think historians are going to look back forever and go, however long this administration lasts, what was it about walking into the White House that hypnotized every person that was involved with this to cover or to obfuscate or to dance around the truth?
I mean, when you're getting people to fudge your height and weight, and you know, look, and I understand what I think about this when we talk about what stories to cover, what tweets to cover, and I think we've all found ourselves. We're all getting conditioned to be like, well, let's see, that's just normal crazy, and you know, we can't keep turning it up to 11 on normal crazy. We should reserve our outrage for just crazy crazy,
right?
And I think that's what's happening here. He's sort of wearing down everybody, where good people just sort of say, you know what, fine, if he wants to be 6'3", we'll make him 6'3", just to shut him up. You know, and it's like, it's, you know, they're little things, but they've been adding up. And this is what he's done. This is how he would get deals with cities. It would be like, oh, you know, you're better off getting him the permit,
right?
Because he just isn't going to shut his mouth.
Right.
Like, this is how he has succeeded. And I put that in quotes. He wears people down. That
right.
Maybe his great gift. I don't know.
Right. And every biography, if you've taken the time, every biography that anyone has ever read about Trump that has any legitimacy or authenticity does talk about what Chuck's talking about right there. The meeting has to end eventually. I've got a life. Okay. We'll do it your way. And you walk out thinking, okay, next time we'll do it my way. Well, there's never a next time.
Yeah. No. That's right. There isn't. This is what he does. Look, every relationship also, you know, because if it doesn't end that way, every relationship ends with a lawsuit. Either he sues you or you sue him because he hasn't paid. I mean, that's the other thing I've learned in spending more time researching his entire professional life. Every relationship ends almost exactly the same way.
Mitch McConnell, apparently his laryngitis cleared up. He actually spoke yesterday. Where is he on the continuing resolution discussion and the immigration situation?
Well, he for Mitch McConnell, he raised his voice. And I say for Mitch McConnell, just him sort of lecturing the president is a big deal. When he said, we have to know what the president is willing to sign. Basically, on DACA, basically he's saying, look, we can't negotiate. Nobody can negotiate in good faith if we don't know what the end game is. We don't know what you'll say yes to. Right. And that was Mitch McConnell admitting it is the White House moving these goalposts. Nobody knows what he will support and what he will sign. And I can tell you this, Republicans are basically saying, you know, we know some people are going to call this amnesty. If you don't have our back, we're not going on this limb either. And then this is the standoff that they're in right now. I think they're going to keep the government open this time. I think there's going to be enough Democrats to vote for it this time. But, you know, because I think there are enough red state Democrats nervous about the hypocrisy argument that, hey, you know, when they would lecture Ted Cruz and Rand Paul during the Obama years. So I think there'll be enough votes, but for now. But it is all in the White House's pocket.
I agree with you, Chuck. I always thought it was kind of strange to try and tie DACA to this. I understand the point of doing it or the message that they're trying to get across. But I do agree that I don't think enough Democrats will pop on board of the DACA argument and say, you know what, it's not enough right now to keep the government spending.
So because they don't want to get blamed.
Right. And so my question to you is, if they do extend it, if the Democrats hop on board, we do extend it for how long? And how long can we keep doing this?
It's just to the end of February.
Right.
And at that point, you now then, guess what comes in March? The debt ceiling. And we know how much Republicans love raising the debt ceiling. So that's that to me is another reason why Democrats are going to feel comfortable saying, you know what? Fine. We'll hold our cards. It's sort of like the decision to fold in your hand. You have a good hand, but you have enough chips on the table to stick around a while.
Yep.
And say, you know what? I want to wait for a better hand. If you let them go ahead and go another 4 weeks, Democrats have a better hand because then you throw in debt ceiling and DACA does expire in March. And then it is worth, then you do, the. It is more of a less risky for you to use DACA and the government shutdown and connect it because they're all expiring at the same time anyway. So then it's more legitimate to connect it. I would say on February 28th, you know, basically, in poker terms, Democrats go from having a pair of queens to a pair of aces, right, in their hand. And you know what? You'd rather fight with a pair of aces.
Speaking of Congress, there's a reason that Congress has an approval rating just above shingles and 20 points below Donald Trump. And it's because of how they act, behave, and comport themselves on a day-to-day basis. Tom Cotton has got a great life story and has been considered to be one of the rising Republicans for a long time. His integrity is less than zero if he continues along the path he's continued this week, along with Mr. Perdue from Georgia, where the story goes, we don't remember to, we absolutely remember the president didn't say what we know he said. It all falls under the same umbrella, doesn't it, Chuck? How stupid do we look?
It does, and what's really disappointing is that if you were to ask me who the, you know, if you were to say, Chuck, give me a list of the 10 most competent people in the Senate,
mm-hmm.
you know, forget politics, just competent people, I'd have put Perdue and Cotton on that list of 10.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were men of integrity. I thought they were, and now, and I've gotten to know them both. I have to say, this is one of those, you don't get it back. This is something you don't get back. And these were two highly successful people in other walks of life, highly respected people for different reasons. And David Perdue was a very successful businessman, you know, former big executive at Reebok and Dollar General. I mean, this is a very successful first life, and never had been accused of being a liar or things like that. And it is amazing what people will do for Trump. And I have to tell you, the only thing that Cotton and Perdue can comfort themselves in is they're not the first to find themselves compromising their integrity on behalf of him sometimes. And it is a remarkable how often Donald Trump is successful at getting people to do that for him. And that, again, it goes back to what we started talking. I guess that's a gift. You know, it's an odd gift that you will, you know, make. Because here's the other thing. you know, Donald Trump doesn't care if he looks dirty.
Absolutely.
He's been accused of that for 40 years. It's no skin off his back to be called whatever name in the book.
Right.
He's dealt with it. I you know, these other folks, they can't handle, you know, this will be have a bigger impact on their futures than on this president.
Yeah, and keep in mind, kids, there's a fine line between gift and curse.
There you go. I would say it's a gift under the rules of the Twilight Zone.
Sunday Meet the Press, as always, the best TV you're going to find on a Sunday morning, and that's why it's the longest running show on television. Andre, I don't know if you know this, even longer than the Big Bang Theory.
I know. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. No, we're longer than The Simpsons, man, and that's real work. They've been on since the before the invention of television, I think.
Might be fun to animate you at some point. I don't know.
Give him an emoji.
Hey, before we let you go, Packer fan, are you worried about your quarterback at all now that he's hooked up with Danica Patrick?
Just please don't go driving with her. That's all I ask. I'm all for him in a relationship. I think he's better when he's in a relationship. Uh-huh. They had a better year when he was with Olivia Munn.
Right.
Don't drive. Please don't drive.
Yeah, great point. Thank you, Chuck.
Thank you, brother.
That's Chuck Todd from MSNBC, NBC, and of course, the 1947 podcast as well.
He brings up a good point. How often have you asked yourself since in the past year and a half, year and a few months,
Who's Aaron Rodgers dating?
No, if you're living in the Twilight Zone.
Daily?
Yeah.
Every few hours? All right, all the time. We'll get into this in greater detail later, but make America vote again, Dave. We're going to get the hats done, I'm sure. It's MAVA. Make America vote again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Illinois primary is when?
March 20th.
And how do we register?
Early voting will begin on February 8th. All you have to do, here's where you can register. First of all, you have to be in an Illinois precinct for at least 30 days before the election. To be eligible, you have to be 18 by election day. However, a 17-year-old may now vote in the primary if he or she will be 18 by the time there's the general election.
Okay.
Registration will close between 28 days before the election and ending 2 days after the election. And you can register online, by mail. It is so easy to do it, Steve. These are just a couple of the locations: county clerk's offices, your schools, precinct committee offices, public libraries, driver's license facilities, Department of Health Care and Family Services, if they are in your township, and the Department of Employment Security. Remember, two forms of identification are required to register. The easiest way to do it actually right now is when you renew your driver's license. You're automatically registered to vote unless you say, I don't want to do that.
You Beautiful.
Can tell them. So,
all right, and we'll
very
tell you about
easy to do.
Wisconsin. In Michigan, Iowa, and Indiana coming up, and the news is next.
When Dick Durbin called me, I had tears of rage when I heard about this experience in that meeting. And for you not to feel that hurt and that pain and to dismiss some of the questions of my colleagues saying I've already answered that line of questions when tens of millions of Americans are hurting right now because of what they're worried about what happened in the White House. That's unacceptable to me.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
A very angry Senator Cory Booker from earlier this week in testimony given by or not given by, depending on your perspective, the Homeland Security Secretary. I'll be honest with you. I understand, though I don't endorse, cabinet members and their forgetting things. I refuse to accept it from members of Congress who are actually in the meetings as Senator Durbin joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Hi, Steve.
Nice to have you on. I appreciate it. I know how busy this week has been. I am deeply disappointed in particular in Senator Tom Cotton. But for Cotton and Perdue, who forgot and then suddenly remembered that there's no chance the president said what you say he said, questions your integrity and questions credulity on all levels. It's ridiculous.
Well, it is troubling because they were in the meeting. They heard the same words I did, and they've come up with two or three explanations of why I was wrong. Listen, Steve, I stick by every word that I said. I've said if this were tape recorded, I don't know if the meeting is automatically tape recorded in the Oval Office or not. If it is, if it were, at this point, release it. I'll stand by everything I've said.
The argument that has been thrown out, whether it's S-hole or S-house, is ridiculous. The question of whether or not there is salty language that is said by politicians has nothing to do with this point. What matters is the President of the United States in 2018, not in 1777, not in 1850, in 2018, the President of the United States, we need to know if he or somewhere down the road she is a racist. It matters.
Well, it certainly does matter. And let me say at the outset, I'm not a choir boy. I've heard salty language. I may have used some in my own past. But this went way, way over the edge of profane language. It was a question about this president's view toward immigration. I thought it was so fundamental to our values as a nation, an immigrant nation, I might add, that I spoke up when he denied saying them. I know what he said, and I know what his intent was over and over again. It was troubling. It's sad in a way that we have reached this moment, but it really was a revelation.
Senator, we've known you for a very long time, both as our representative and on the radio station as well. You have now become a victim of a personal attack by Donald Trump on Twitter with the Dickie Durbin and the name-calling. I think at one point we talked to you about the name-calling with Flaky Jeff Flake when it was on Twitter. I just want to get your thoughts on, again, putting all politics aside, being the victim of this name-calling on Twitter. It's got to be a whole new level for you as a person.
Well, it's adolescent. Let's be very blunt about this. This is not what should occur at the highest levels of government in the United States of America, but it's become commonplace with this president. I'm not going to tell you I wear it like a badge of honor, but it doesn't bother me one damn bit.
And that's the thing, right? Because it just goes to show. It's like when your mom said as a kid, consider the source, because the source has proven himself to be who he is over and over again. But my question to you, Senator, is where do we go from here? This isn't just about a continuing resolution and the basic job that Congress is supposed to do in providing a budget. It involves thousands and thousands of lives of innocent victims of this immigration mess that should have been settled long ago, with a president that apparently hasn't decided what he stands for. Those are the words of Mitch McConnell.
See, this is, it's interesting what happened yesterday, and I don't know if it's even been reported in Chicago. I felt after the facts came out about what the president actually said in the White House, that there would be a day of reckoning for members of his own party. I don't believe what he said reflects America's feeling towards immigration. I don't believe it reflects the Republican Party's feeling toward immigration. Are they more conservative than I am? Yes. But when it comes to his declarations of which countries would send us good people and which wouldn't, I didn't think they would ever accept that. And let me tell you what happened yesterday. We went from three original sponsors of this bipartisan measure, three original Republican sponsors, to seven. Four more senators have stepped up and said, we want to take this bipartisan approach, this centrist approach to dealing with immigration. I was in the Senate gym this morning. I go down there for no apparent reason. But I was in the Senate gym, and I ran into a couple more Republican senators, and they stopped me, and they said, we're going to take another hard look at this. I'm hoping they'll step up and that we can find that center stripe on this issue. And what the president said, I believe many of them want to distance themselves from his remarks.
And that would be enlightening and a breath of fresh air that we all need. Now, look, I'll readily admit I'm no fan of Mitch McConnell and his the way he does his job or doesn't do his job. But he has an opportunity to lead here, as does Paul Ryan. That could really show the way for not just now, but for the rest of the year to actually get some legitimate work done, as opposed to we're right because we have the power. Do we see any light at the end of that tunnel?
Well, unfortunately, Senator McConnell has said, I'm not going to move any immigration measure until the president tells me what he wants. Steve, last week, I went to a meeting on the White House on Tuesday. Some people have seen it. I sat right next to the president. That was, in fact, only the third or fourth time I'd ever had a conversation with this man.
And he couldn't have been more buddy-buddy with you at that point.
Oh, he certainly was. And then 2 days later, 48 hours later, we went through this terrible experience in the White House where he said the things that he did. So his views on immigration are hard to follow. Yesterday, General Kelly, his chief of staff, said four or five different areas where the president has made a declaration of a wall from sea to shining sea. That isn't what he meant. He went through all this litany of things where the president is now correcting his position. So for Senator McConnell to say, well, the Senate's going to wait until the president comes up with his approach. Come on. We are a separate branch of government. If we can come up with a bipartisan approach that makes sense for America, we send it to the president, hoping he will vote it or embrace it and sign it. If not, veto it. I mean, let's step up and take our responsibility to lead here. I think waiting for the president to come to a conclusion on this is a waste of time.
And just to make sure people understand the timeline here again, because it's been said that you and Lindsey Graham were tattletales in this 12-year-old nonsense that continues to go on. The timeline, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, is there was a leak about 3 seconds after the meeting ended. It was only after that that Lindsey Graham and you answered questions about it, and you said the truth is this. Is that accurate?
That's exactly right. And what happened was I got on an airplane here in Washington after the meeting, and when I landed in Chicago, they said the Washington Post has broken the story. I will just guarantee you, I didn't call the Washington Post, and I instructed my staff not to call them either. Someone did, and it was confirmed by White House staff the next day, and then the president tweeted, it didn't happen. And I thought to myself, now that is an outrage. It did happen, and I know it did, and it's significant and historic. And you just can't have a president walk away from what he has said when it really gets to the heart of his views of a fundamental value in America.
And that's why it matters. I know you got to run in a couple of minutes, but something else rather remarkable has happened in the last 24 to 48 hours. And this has nothing to do with the man's stellar military record. He's truly a hero. But General John Kelly, as chief of staff, has a different job. And that job has now become more front and center in that he, and you use this word, sandbagged, that he may have been part of sandbagging the meeting that you thought would only involve you, Graham, and President Trump. Fill me in.
Well, let me say this at the outset about John Kelly. First, I respect his service for our country.
As do I.
And as a matter of fact, he put his life on the line for America, something that I've never been called on to do. So I start with great admiration and respect for him. Secondly, he lost a son in combat. And I mean, that is something that I think about every time I look at him. So there's no question about, in my mind, about his love of this nation and his devotion and patriotism. But I will go further and tell you that the role he is playing now is hard for me to understand. He should be helping us, of course, move this country forward. When it comes to issues like immigration, here we had a bipartisan agreement, and he scrambled to make sure there were five members of Congress in the room with the president just 2 hours later who would scuttle this deal and stop it in its in place. That to me did not serve our nation well. I think this president may have bowed to his leadership, to Kelly's instincts and ideas, if he had moved us in the right direction. But sadly, he's moving us in a direction of more division and less output in Washington.
He's entitled to be political in the position he's in, but he has gone so much farther right than I thought he would in this case, as far as dividing us, not bringing us together.
Listen, Steve, it wasn't that long ago that I voted in his favor to appoint him as director of the Department of Homeland Security. I had a couple of my Democratic colleagues, one in particular, come up to me and say, are you crazy? This man's going to be a disaster. And I said, no. I've talked to him directly. I've asked him questions. I want to give him his chance. I really believe he may be what we need, someone who will keep the president from going to excessive positions. Unfortunately, that's not the case.
Yeah, it's been disappointing. We need middle. We don't need far right or far left. Senator, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Steve. Bye-bye.
And Senator Dick Durbin, who has been running around like crazy all week, as you can imagine.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own
720 WGN.
725, we continue live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. Thank you, Allstate. Eric Edelstein and Pat Brady are here. Pat, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies.
How about you, Eric?
AL Media.
Nice to see both of you. You know, we're all about the same age, and it used to be a time. You guys might remember a decade called the 80s. It used to be
a time. Whoa. You're older than I am.
By 2 weeks. There was a decade called the 80s where, you know, you'd see three people who would see each other at a place of business and they'd greet each other. What happened now? All three of us were looking down at our cell phones when we walked in. Eric's texting, Pat's checking messages, I'm texting.
I gave Eric a courtesy head fake, at least.
I nodded.
Yeah.
I gave him the cool guy nod.
I was on my Snapchat.
Well, I saw you on there.
Of course you were. Yes, for sure. I just finished talking to Senator Durbin about this ridiculous week in the long, long line and string of ridiculous weeks. I don't care what your politics are. It's very hard to find fault with the fact that Lindsey Graham and Dick Durbin stepped up and said, it matters if the president's a racist, and this is what happened.
Yeah. You know, I remember we were here a week ago, and we said, imagine what was said with Durbin and him, and who knew it was going to be like this. To me, the most corrosive part of it is what you brought up, Steve, is the Republican senator's response.
It's outrageous.
To me, it's corrosive to democracy. It's down this road of saying, well, there isn't really truth. There's truthiness. There's whatever we want to say the interpretation is. And to hang themselves on one word when the spirit of what the president was saying repeatedly is abundantly clear. They're playing to this base. They're playing to this group of, you know, kind of knuckle draggers who just want to believe what they believe, and that anytime a Democrat criticizes the president, it's unfair and untrue. And to me, again, regardless of party, that's what's so corrosive in this whole thing. There's so much that's disturbing, but that one really, really troubles me.
You know, I agree. I mean, I think from a Republican perspective, you kind of have to look at it two ways. And I want to quote Senator Durbin. I think our president's a lunatic and a goof, and it doesn't bother me one damn bit to say that as a Republican. But we have to look at some of the policy achievements. This tax cut, listen to Steve Krasanich's show this morning. A lot of these companies are bringing billions of dollars back into the United States because of this repatriation, this new tax. So there are some good policy things that the Republicans want to get done. But I think the only way we can look at
it. But you're saying that's why Tom Cotton and Perdue are bending over?
No, I'm Tom Cotton. I knew we came through before he ran for Congress, and he's a hero. He was in law school. He's got a great life story. I don't understand. Maybe he truly heard it that way. I'm not defending him, and I didn't like it either. But the point is, from a Republican perspective, and we should take the warning signs from this loss we had in Wisconsin on Wednesday, where we lost a seat in the northwestern part of the state that Donald Trump won by 25 points or 23 points. We lost roughly that same district in a special election. And Eric, you've been saying this for a long time. There's a lot more energy on the Democrat side. The point is, we have to disassociate ourselves from Trump, the idiot Trump,
and
focus on the policies.
If any of our kids said to us, I don't remember what I heard, and then 3 days later said, oh, no, I remember. I absolutely remember. It's not how life works.
No, I mean, they've documented 2,000 lies he's told since he's been president. And
right, but my point is the contagion of lying that goes on. It's not
completely.
Okay on either side. I remember when Harry Reid stood up on the floor of the Senate and said, I got it from a very reliable source, that Mitt Romney never paid his taxes, and he's got this going on, and then giggled about the fact that he lied on the floor of the Senate. It's not okay.
I agree. And all I'm saying is, as a Republican, if we want to save what we've gained in the last 10 years, we need to step away from this guy. And there's got to be, and I think you're seeing some chinks in the armor with the seven senators, even like John Kennedy from Louisiana was on last night talking about this.
I just hope that whatever goodie bag the congressmen and women get when they originally take their oath, that it involves a lot of chapstick, because I haven't seen this kind of butt kissing in a long time.
I mean, the speculation on Cotton, and again, I don't want to question someone's integrity. All I can do is interpret what they do, is that he wants to be CIA director. He wants to be in the Trump cabinet. There have been articles written that Cotton's sort of the Trump without all the craziness in terms of how he understands how to push these hot buttons and how conservative he really is. But these are profile encouraged moments. When are you really going to distinguish yourself and say, regardless of party, I heard the spirit of what was said, and it's un-American. And I think that the Republican Party, look, we'll wait and see the verdict on the tax plan and some of these other policies. It's way too early to say whether they're successful or not. But I do think these are moments for the Republican Party to recapture its own spirit, party of Lincoln, all that stuff, and say, we're not going to be defined by Donald Trump. And I'll say what I've said on here for months. The end of his presidency begins when Republican senators who don't say they're retiring break from Trump and say, enough is enough and we've had it.
Well, the storm clouds on the horizon are, if the Democrats take back the House, there's going to be an impeachment.
Yeah, it's just a matter of...
It's his presidency, and he's out campaigning today, and he should be, because he's done if they take back the House.
There's a. I'll leave you with this before we go to the headlines in a second. Did you tell us what was coming up? Oh, you did.
Yeah.
One of the major problems I had with Barack Obama was too often he was president of the Democrats and not president of the United States, because you got to be president of all 300 million-plus people. We've now got such an imbalance that Congress is feeding directly to the president. The Republicans in Congress are more concerned about the president of the United States than they are about the people that they represent. Right. And an imbalance like I've never seen. And it will do what you just said. It will cost the Republicans power, and it'll eventually cost Trump his job if he's not gone before then by Mr. Mueller. 7:30. Headlines next, 7:20, WGN.
I don't recall General Kelly saying the president was uninformed. He said, this is how our decision has evolved. This is what's needed. We should be getting behind the professionals who are on the line securing our border every day and telling us what they need to secure our border.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
White House Director of Legislative Affairs Mark Short, who sadly also has come down with the forget virus that apparently is just running rampant all over the White House. It's very, very sad.
So it's contagious.
Apparently. Yeah. Steve Rosanich in the newsroom. Did you look up the Merck stock?
I did, because this is an interesting question you bring up, whether or not there was a bump after the Propecia comment about the president. For the last month, it's been pretty flat. The numbers have been pretty flat. Ticker symbol MRK. So let's say back about a week ago, shares were at $56.55 a share. Mm-hmm. And then on the 16th, there was a bump up all the way to $63.47 a share.
Up.
But it's on its way back down again. And so this morning, it's down to $62.03, and the trend is downward on that stock. So.
Is there an orange hair warning on the bottle?
One of the main, and I was already hooked on Rogaine, so I never tried Propecia, but one of the main side effects of Propecia is erectile dysfunction. Now, did you ever?
I did not.
Not that you've lost any hair.
But I know somebody who did, and he would always joke about, this is a trade-off. What would you rather have?
Right. Do you really need more hair?
If you can't have everything in the world, what do you choose?
What good is a hair going to do if nothing else works?
I love you guys.
So the fact of the matter is, even though Donald Trump's hair looks like it looks, he, again, because he is the economic juggernaut that he is, drove Merck stock up 7 points.
What a genius.
A stable genius.
You got the best words, too.
A lot of them. All right. I want to go to you, Prosecutor Brady. One of the things about Steve Bannon this week and also Corey Lewandowski is they don't seem to be answering many questions. So let me start there. Can you claim some form of executive privilege when you're not a part of the administration if, in fact, you were at one point?
Well, let's take a step back. There are three investigations right now. There's a House investigation, a Senate investigation, and then there's the investigation that matters, which is the criminal investigation.
The Mueller
investigation. Mm-hmm. You can, in certain circumstances, claim privilege, meaning what a privilege does, it protects you from testifying when you're there under compulsion of subpoena, like Bannon was. There's attorney-client privilege, and there is an executive privilege, but it's very, very limited. To answer your question, I'm not sure if it was proper for him to claim that the White House might claim privilege on these conversations. I think if this went to court, they would lose. But was the most unique thing was he's on the phone with the White House at the time his lawyers are. He's testifying, and they are telling him not to talk.
Golfers might understand this. It sounded to me like a provisional mulligan. Like I hit one that maybe is out of bounds, and I'm going to use my mulligan here unless I find my ball. I just don't get how you can say, well, there may be a need for executive privilege here, so I'm not going to answer your questions.
Yeah, well, I agree, and I think it was a bunch of nonsense. I think if you look at the day-to-day drama of the political investigations, the House and the Senate investigations, that are going nowhere, and they're supposed to be conducting a legitimate investigation into whether or not the Russians tapped into our elections and coming up with some laws to protect us here in the United States. The real investigation, the only one that matters, is what Bob Mueller's doing, the criminal investigation.
All right, but you brought up something to me off the air this week, which I think is important, too, that I didn't know. You were talking about what it indicates that Bannon is in the position he is in, which identifies him as not being a target?
Yeah, the conduct of the prosecutors are governed to a certain extent by the U.S. Attorney's Manual. In the U.S. Attorney's Manual, it says you're not to subpoena, meaning order a person to come to the grand jury if they are a target of investigation. That's frowned upon. So the only other reason that I would throw a subpoena at somebody is because they're a jerk like Bannon that might not show
the jerk.
The jerk. We just need to get them in.
Yeah.
So to me, it makes me believe that he's not really a target. He's a witness, but they wanted to control him and get him in. But what they're going to do, and we knew this is what's going to happen, he's never going to go to the grand jury because he goes into the grand jury without a lawyer. When you go to the grand jury, the federal grand jury, your lawyer sits outside. So he negotiated, which happens every day, that he's going to sit down and have a conversation with Mueller with his lawyers there. But the thing that's been misreported in the last 2 days, that doesn't mean he's cooperating. They subpoenaed him. He's coming to talk to him. He goes, okay, I'll talk to you. I'm gonna, it's either here or in the grand jury. Let's talk when my lawyer's here and there's some rules maybe on what's going to be asked.
Why wouldn't he just take the Fifth?
We can do that, but it's only if what he's going to say tends to incriminate him. You can't just do a blanket Fifth on everything.
I've done it in meetings for years.
So if you are subpoenaed by the grand jury, you can't repeatedly take the Fifth.
Well, the manual says you're not supposed to call somebody in and just say, question, I take the Fifth. Question, I take the Fifth. It's a waste of time, and it's a waste of the grand jury's time. But you can't just claim Fifth for everything. It has to be, if I give this answer, it tends to incriminate me. That's what the Fifth Amendment says.
On a question-by-question basis.
I've had witnesses come in. They go, I'm going to take the Fifth. I'm like, well, okay, have your lawyer call me. I'm not going to put you in here and ask you 40 questions while you take the Fifth.
Have you seen it have the other effect, though, too? Like someone is in the grand jury, they take the Fifth, and the grand jury says, I didn't get any evidence. I'm going to vote to indict.
No, it's not the way the grand jury works. The prosecutor controls the grand jury. There's 40 people that sit in there for 18 months. They present what evidence, and their rules on what they're supposed to present as far as exculpatory evidence. But it's the prosecution's tool, and they're just not going to do it. They're not going to waste the grand jury's time.
We dial this back to when Bill Clinton, I think, had Ken Starr of the Map Room, if I remember correctly, when they did the questioning over the Monica Gate situation, which I guess at that point wasn't quite Monica Gate yet.
Paula Jones,
all of it. There's been an argument in the last couple of days about whether or not you would ever, under any circumstances, put Trump in a position to answer questions, considering what a wild card he is. Two parts here, one for you, Pat, one for you, Eric. Eric, is there a reasonable comparison between the precedent Clinton set and the fact that Trump therefore would have to?
I don't think have to, but I do think there's a similarity between two guys who thought they could talk their way out of anything. And I think we saw that Clinton's testimony, both his deposition in the civil case and his talking to Starr, got him in some trouble. I mean, Pat knows better than I do. When a prosecutor wants to get you, if you're a politician who you're used to shaving edges and maybe embellishing a little bit, you know, testifying under oath is not your strong suit, because anything you say can and will be used against you, and it usually is. So I go back to, you know, whether they can compel Trump to, I'll defer to the legal experts. What I will say is the irony of a guy who thinks he can talk his way out of anything, having lawyers tell him you can't talk your way out of this one, is going to be fascinating to see how it plays out.
Because he doesn't listen.
Yeah, right. But we've got to remember, the FBI, and I love the FBI, they're not your friends when they're coming to talk to you. These are not, hey, let's go get a cup of coffee. They know 10 times more than you're ever going to know. They've been looking at documents from Russia and these banks for a long time, and these are the best of the best. So even a genius like Trump, I don't think could talk him. You know, I can't believe he would subject himself.
I gave a deposition not too long ago in a civil case just as an expert witness on political stuff. The amount of information they, and I was just an expert witness, they had on me was sort of shocking.
Oh, there's volumes of it.
You go, I forgot that.
Yeah, really? They're like, well, didn't you work for so-and-so in 19?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I did?
I've had it for 7 years. I've just never used it.
That's the Oppo research you have for the segment.
Do we have time to talk about the wall stuff and Kelly?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah, we'll do that when we come back. Okay. And I also want to ask you guys about the mayor and maybe the governor's race as well. It all comes down to one thing, Steve. It all depends on what the definition of stable is. Yes.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, my mind on play now, baby.
On 720 WGN.
Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby.
755 is about a week ago. We ran the numbers here on the value of $18 billion for a wall across our southern border, taking just the 900 miles, which is the max distance discussed for an additional wall. You could actually have a live human being every 300 yards for $1.5 billion a year times 10 years. The cost, the $18 billion, was 10 years. And you'd still have $3 billion in a kitty. $15 billion gives a human being every 300 yards. So the continued discussion of the wall is idiotic. But now General Kelly's involved.
Yeah, so General Kelly said yesterday that in one of the great euphemisms of all time, that the president wasn't fully informed during the campaign. Now, here's what's great about it. I know people want to criticize this, but my daughter has final exams this week.
Is she fully informed?
Well, I said to her, study hard and do well. But if you stumble, it's easy. You just go to your teacher and you say, I know I failed that exam or didn't get the grade I wanted, but I was not fully informed on the topics that were going to be on this exam. So I think General Kelly's done us all a great favor. But
you know what else? You bring up an interesting point, because Corey Lewandowski yesterday said he wasn't prepared to answer the questions. Your daughter could also use
that. That's right. It's not fair. If you're not, I mean, if you get pulled over by a cop because you're going 120 in a 20, you say, I was not fully informed of the speed limit in this zone, Mr. Officer.
Not that we've ever tried that at all.
No.
Why should the rules apply to us?
No, they shouldn't. But, you know, it is a remarkable one. And what will be interesting to see is anytime anybody who's an underling of Trump who contradicts him, it may not start right away, but they sort of get relegated because he sort of puts down his foot, says, I'm the alpha here. Nobody can contradict me. And Kelly went pretty far in saying he didn't really know what the hell he was talking about during the campaign.
And a tweet came out this morning from Trump, which directly addressed what General Kelly said. And Trump said, and in short terms here, I haven't changed anything about my original concept of the wall.
Right. Is this the beginning of the end of Kelly? It'll be interesting to see.
It's quite possible. Quite possible. All right, let me shift to local here. Lincoln Forum's coming up when?
Monday night, 22nd, Chicago Athletic Association, LincolnForum.org. Our guest is Governor Rauner.
All right, and who's going to be firing questions? People in the crowd? Is there a moderator? Or how are you doing this?
People in the crowd, and then I'm going to moderate.
Okay, so you'll be firing questions at Governor Rauner.
I will.
Will you be accepting questions?
We will.
Will you be taking questions by mail? Can people come to your home this weekend and drop off a question?
They probably will. After the Trump comments, I usually get some
carrier
mail. You saw it once. Remember, I got yelled at the forum?
Oh, my God. That guy. I wanted to dive on you to protect you.
By the way, latest Trump tweet is what?
About 8 minutes ago, 7 minutes ago, actually, a government shutdown will be devastating to our military, something the Dems care very little about.
Oh, well, that's good. That clears that up.
Yeah.
When are you Democrats going to stop not caring about the security of the American people?
You know, we've never really cared about it at all. So.
Unbelievable. It's outrageous. Let me turn your mic off, Dave, for a second there. There we go. As we go further from here, we've got a mayoral situation coming up and a gubernatorial situation coming up. Any governor news this week?
Well, the Democratic candidates appeared from the Sun-Times editorial board. They're appearing before the Tribune editorial board tomorrow. Then there's a debate forum on NBC on Channel 5 that Marianne Ahern and Carol Marine are going to be hosting on Tuesday. So it's a big week for politics. There was also a story this morning that, you know, the Pritzker campaign complained about this ad that Rauner's running about the FBI tapes and Pritzker begging Blagojevich for an appointment. And it now comes out that the Rauner campaign over the weekend is going to put up some must-see TV. They're going to play the entirety of the 11-minute tapes because Pritzker campaign was saying you took it out of context. And so they're actually going to air the entirety of the 11-minute. So clear your weekend plans. I don't know what you have planned.
Wow. Right.
Because we don't like to fast-forward through those commercials anyway.
That's right.
I mean,
Pop the popcorn.
All of those.
Watch the 11-minute political.
Do you like this better?
Yeah, JB's a product of the machine. We saw it with Reagan his taxes. We saw he's Madigan's guy, and he's a Blago guy, and that's who the Democrats, for some reason, want to coronate. But there was another moment in the last couple of days where your candidate, one, our uninformed Republican candidate, not the governor, his opponent, said we need more fathers in the home to solve the gun problem in the city. Sitting next to Chris Kennedy, whose father, Steve, I remember this well.
Of course, so do
I. Was assassinated, and it was one of the most idiotic, insensitive, least well thought out comments I've ever seen in my life, and it's an embarrassment to the Republican
Party.
You
know, he said, for those who didn't see it, he said, you know, I can't agree with you. My father was killed. I didn't have
a father. Hard to have him in the home when he was murdered.
And then he got up and left. And you know,
my uncle was killed.
Yeah. I mean, then he was asked, why'd you get up? And this is sort of interesting, goes back to Trump, is he said, I think if more of the Republicans during the debates, when someone on stage is saying something idiotic, imbecilic, and insulting, instead of standing there and taking it, just walk off and say, this is not a debate I'm going to have because it's idiotic.
Well, this is the thing, Steve. This is the cancer on the Illinois Republican Party. There's a Steve Bannon less successful wing of this party, the Illinois Policy Institute, and these folks that are funded by one guy that are putting these people up, and it's doing so much damage to the Republican Party, as is reflected by just this completely idiotic, insensitive comment made by...
Well said. We don't have time to decide if you guys like pink or red Starburst, but we do hope Kevin McCarthy's staff is pulling them out separately for us now and sending us a jar. Were you talking to McCarthy about that?
I love Kevin McCarthy. I think Kevin
because
McCarthy
because of his Starbucks.
No, that was a hostage video of him standing next to the president.
He is blinking. A few
he was
times.
Morse code. Sir, he was talking. Help me, help me. SOS.
As he was sifting through, throwing at the lemon in the orange.
He's one of the finest people. He's just a guy that gets things done. He gets along with people. He's a nice guy.
Let me tell you something. I salute the fact that's networking 101. You find out somebody likes the red
and
the pink Starbucks.
Did you see the look on his face? He's like, oh my god, can I go back to California?
Ladies and gentlemen, your tax dollars at work. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Pat.
Thanks.
Dean's coming up. News first. That's next. 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Dean.
Steve, you could say good morning to me a million times and it would still put a smile on my face.
Oh, that's delightful. That's what that is. Hey, listen, I mentioned the Amazon headquarters search. Do you have a room at your place?
I do have a spare bedroom where they could set up if they'd like.
Okay, because the top 20 cities have been reaffirmed this week, and Chicago's still on the list, though not believed to be one of the top three finalists. Atlanta, Austin, Boston, Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Denver, Indianapolis, L.A., Miami, Montgomery County, Maryland, which is just outside of D.C., Nashville, Newark, New York City, Northern Virginia, Philly, Pittsburgh, Raleigh, Toronto, and Washington, D.C. itself. That's the list.
You've mentioned every city in the United States.
Yes, I did, didn't I? Coming up with you in a moment.
We're right in the middle, though. We're right in the center. It seems like that makes the most sense.
Plus, we have an airport.
Yeah, we have a couple of airports.
Yeah. Yeah, one's super big, the other's super efficient.
Yeah, you want to... Well, you mean the big one's not efficient?
Not as much, no.
You want to go north, you go to O'Hare. You want to go south, you go to Midway.
Plus, we got train stations and train tracks and bus stations and buses and lions and tigers and bears.
We have a lake. Amazon really hasn't capitalized on delivering packages by steamship.
That's a great point.
The river.
How about paddle boat?
Yeah.
Yeah, paddle boat on the river.
Kayaking's huge.
Kayaking. Packages by kayak.
Yeah.
Wow. Now we're talking. You've got a honey of a deal coming up from Bruce Willis.
My real estate business really is kicking in for the new year. I couldn't be happier about this. We've got as you say, honey of a deal coming up.
And one NBC star of the old days is going to South Korea.
Ooh.
One new NBC star, is it?
Good tease. Bill Cosby?
Bill Cosby is not going. Not been invited. Okay. Fire and Fury, the book.
Yeah.
Soon to be something even more your face.
You are good with the teases today.
Beyonce and Jay-Z said a little something-something to the Kardashian West House.
Very street of you. That's a good street tease.
And
something-something.
And where does Dean and all the other stars get their steroids? He's going to tell you.
Wow.
He's going to let you know.
On the edge of our seats.
Yep, he's going to let you know. Hey, we had that Pat Tomasulo on the show yesterday. Have you met him?
I have not.
Got a show coming up debuting Saturday night on the Paul Rennie Television Network.
You know what? I don't want to say anything. Pat, I guess, was on your show and used this microphone that we have here at WGN.
What'd he do to it?
Although we have several of them, he decided to use the one that's at my desk.
Yeah, what'd he do to the mic?
To do it. It just he messed up my stuff.
You know, that's ridiculous.
You go to sit at somebody else's desk. He's more than welcome to sit at my desk, but don't mess up my stuff.
Remember that book, Everything I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten?
Yeah.
And I think one of the rules there was don't mess up Dean's stuff.
Yeah.
And if you touch someone else's microphone, put it back where you
found it.
Yeah, I mean, that was in the book.
Put it back where you found it.
Specifically those words.
I would even Purell it and then put it back
that's
for
a good
Dean.
Point. How much Purell are you bringing to Vegas?
A lot. I have some in my bag right now. It's scented.
Andrea wants to Purell the entire plane before she'll get on it.
Yeah,
there's not enough Purell to go to Vegas.
Oh, I'll wipe down your tray table, too.
I was flying with Andrea somewhere. I don't know. It was a couple years ago, and I dozed off, and she was spraying me down with Purell.
I wipe everything, the seats, the tray tables,
she's
the
trying
arm
to get Purell beach towels in a canister.
That's right.
You must be like me when you go into a hotel room, immediately grossed out.
Yes.
When you go into a hotel room.
I tell you what you don't want to think about when you go into a hotel room, that any other human being has stayed in the hotel room.
Right. Yeah. And if they're as messy as I am, that grosses me out. That.
Remember that time Pat Tomasulo was in your room? That was bad. That was really bad.
I am a little particular. It's like, wait a minute, that was on a 42-degree angle before he sat here.
Persnickety. Persnickety is a good rap name.
I do have a lot of tchotchkes and like movie swag and stuff on my desk. And, you know, he was looking at things, but, you know, he didn't put them back precisely the way.
Well, you're a lot like the guy from Stripes. Any of you guys that touch my stuff, I'll kill you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So settle down, Francis. We'll come back in just a second. That's Dean Richards.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor.
Back to Dean at 8:23. The Kardashian West, the things, had another baby. This
you
is number
Kimye.
Kimye, they had a third child.
Yep.
I don't know what to get them. I mean, are they registered at Bed Bath & Beyond?
They are not. Not a Target. I went to the Oshkosh Bagosh factory.
Good call.
Store.
Good call.
And I was going to pick them up some onesies. But they're, you know, we don't know. We know it's a girl, but we don't know the name. We don't have zero details, apparently.
Well, it's the constant problem, right? It's like, what do you get the family whose mother has done a porn film? I mean, what do you, yeah, that's the old question. We all have to answer it.
That's tricky. Beyonce and Jay-Z, maybe, you know, we can follow their lead.
What'd they do?
They sent over a gift for the new baby, a diamond-encrusted Lorraine Schwartz bracelet, engraved with the number 3 on it because it's their third child.
Mm.
Total price on that, $21,000.
$21,000?
Yeah.
It's a nice gift.
Joe Romano just told me in my headphone that he got him the same thing, and he feels terrible because now he's got to return it.
It's a shock. We should coordinate gifts next time.
Keep the receipts for stuff like that.
I feel bad now because I was going to get Abigail a bracelet that she could chew on, and it was like $3.99, and this is $21,000.
Diamonds, though.
Yeah,
Abigail will cut her lips if she's chewing on a diamond.
So it seems like a really sensible gift from Beyonce and Jay-Z.
No. Stupid. That's going to look nice when they're at Chuck E. Cheese, and she's wearing her $21,000 bracelet,
and she loses it in the bouncy balls.
Right.
Right.
All right. Fire and Fury. It's a book. It's a what else?
It's going to be a TV show.
What?
Look, I know that's shocking that someone has purchased the television rights to the New York Times best-selling book out right now.
Has it been cast yet? Who's going to play Trump's hair?
No, they have not have any casting or crew decisions yet. That would maybe be a good text question.
Yes, it would.
Of who should play some of the characters, including the hair.
Let's go with that for the rest of the show. Text question now, 312-981-7200. In the Fire and Fury TV series, who plays what?
The rights to the book have been purchased for 7 figures, being shopped around right now to TV networks and platforms. I'm sure we'll snag it here at WGN.
No question about that. Megyn Kelly is excited about the Olympics.
Actually, it's another NBC what? Star who is excited about the
this
Olympics.
This sounds controversial.
This is near scandalous because, you know, there's been a lot of scandal going on the Today Show.
Mm-hmm.
Katie Couric, for example, has been off the Today Show for a very long time, but NBC has rehired her, and she will be the co-host for the opening ceremonies, along with Mike Tirico, who's replaced Bob Costas as the primetime host for the games. So look for Katie Couric to be back.
Well, we like Katie Couric.
I do, too.
Yeah, I think she's great, but is there a reason Megyn Kelly can't go, too?
I don't know.
Because they got a lot of crap to cover.
There's a lot of time that they're going to have to kill.
It seems like she could go over and say something insulting or something that would be judged almost immediately as soon as it came out of her mouth.
Are we generally happy that North and South Korea are seeming?
I think it's great.
Seeming to reteam.
Even if it's a day, I think it's great that there's some crack in that the whole situation.
Sounds like the beginning 10 minutes of a James Bond movie.
Yes, it does. Where and then it all goes awry.
Seemingly everything went just fine till Kim Jong-un.
Right. just before ice dancing. It all went to hell. All right, so I know you've wondered often, where does Dean get his steroids? Where do you stars get your steroids?
Well, there was this guy.
Dealer.
Not my dealer.
So you say.
If you've seen me, you know clearly that I have not been using steroids.
Great cover.
But there's this guy by the name of Richard Rodriguez, who the DEA is investigating right now. In fact, Steve, he's in jail right now and conducted an interview. Because, you know, pretty much what are you going to do to kill time while you're in prison? Pick up the phone and do interviews with TMZ and some of the others. This Robert Rodriguez guy, who is a suspected...
Is it Richard or Robert?
Richard.
Richard, okay.
Richard Rodriguez.
Got it.
A suspected steroids dealer.
Yep.
It says that he sold steroids to Mark Wahlberg, to Josh Duhamel,
and Dean Richards.
And WWE star Roman Reigns. And Dean Richards.
And Dean Richards.
Wahlberg has last night issued a statement saying that the accusations are completely false.
He had a different dealer.
He has never even heard of Rodriguez.
Right, because his dealer was a different guy.
And a source close to Wahlberg says that he has never, ever used steroids.
Oh, well, that's different.
You may find it odd that I just made that very same statement a few minutes ago. So whatever he said, that covers for me, too.
And Josh Duhamel. He is a Fergie's ex-husband, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Actor in his own regard.
Star of Vegas.
I'm sure he doesn't
know. Or was it Las Vegas?
Vegas with James Caan, right?
That was a good show.
Yeah.
I like that show.
Yeah. But let's just call him Fergie's ex.
Let's just call him Roid Head.
Let's, he has not commented on any of this, so...
All right, and now let's get on to what truly matters, and that is you have a honey of a deal for us.
Oh, you know, for those of you that don't know, in my spare time, I do sell real estate. I put on the yellow sport coat and sell real estate to the stars, to sell and buy real estate for the stars.
Right.
And my pal Bruce Willis, Steve, has a honey of a deal going on right now. He's got a New York City duplex.
Okay, that's two plexes. That's a duplex.
That's one plex and then another plex, generally right on top of another.
Okay.
And this overlooks Central Park.
Wow, that's nice. That's a nice setting.
That's some nice real estate right
there.
Sure. 150 feet of frontage overlooking Central Park. This is a 6,000 square foot duplex, Steve. Six bedrooms, five baths, including a luxurious master suite.
Beautiful Manhattan location.
Beautiful, perfect Midtown Manhattan location. I can get you into this without a problem. $17.7 million.
$17.7 million. Well, that's the asking price.
That's the asking price.
Well, let me see here. As you know, at a time like this, I like to go to cash because cash is king.
Cash is king.
I have for you $87 in cash that I just pulled out of my wallet.
Wow, you're walking around with some money today.
$87 in cash and a Golf Galaxy and Dick's Sporting Good gift card that I'm willing to throw in. Both of those of undetermined value, but they're probably $50 a piece. So let's say it's $187.
That's a lot of money for walking around money for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I went to the ATM. I got $20 in my wallet. I will throw in for you.
207. Dave, what do you got? Dave's going to the wallet right now. What do you?
Would you take a? Oh, I have another gift card.
What's yours?
Well, let's see.
The Hooters one.
I think this one you gave me.
Let me just remind you. This has frontage of Central Park, which means you can see muggings whenever you want.
Oh, that's
rats.
Cool.
The every single night garbage on the street.
That's fantastic.
Don't forget the rats, Dean.
The rats. Yeah. Oh, it's like living at Lincoln Park Zoo.
And I have $63.
Wow.
Well, okay, so we're up to... This is the highest bid we've ever made. This is $270.
You guys are making it rain today. Yeah. Making it rain today.
Look
with money.
That.
Can we just close this now instead of you waiting for other bids?
Well, I have to get my client's approval on this, but I'm very confident that he'll be dying hard to get this done.
Oh, look what you did there.
Yeah.
That's Dean Richards, real estate agent to the stars and recreational steroid user. Thank you, my friend. I picture perfect. Somebody just listening right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, like my lawyer.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
John Williams will join us here in a couple of minutes before we get to that. And we'll break this up into a couple of parts. Make America Vote Again, MAVA. You've been talking about it off and on all morning.
Yes.
We want you to register so you can vote in the primary. Why is the primary important? It's important because it determines who will actually run in the general election. Too often, we don't vote in the primary, and we're talking about 10 to 15% voter turnout. Mm-hmm. And because of that, we get upset about who's in the general. We go, well, how is that possible? How can this be the candidates? How can we be left with this? It's because the primary determines who runs in the general, and those that vote in the primary tend to be the far left and the far right, the farthest left and the farthest right. So if you truly want your viewpoints represented on what matters to you, you have to take the time to vote in the primary.
Yes. So, absolutely, you do.
Let's talk about first Illinois. When is the primary?
All right. Well, early voting begins on February 8th. Voter registration will end on February 20th, but you still have up until March 4th for the voter registration deadline online. Early voting ends completely on March 19th, and the primary is March 20th. So what you have to do, it is so easy. You can literally Google voting in Illinois, how do I do it? And all of these websites will come up. You can register online, by mail, or at the following locations: county clerk offices, election commissioner offices, your city, your village, or your township office, precinct committee offices, schools, libraries, military recruitment facilities, Department of Health Care and Family Services, and Employment Security, and this might be the easiest one, Steve, driver's license facilities. It's very easy to do. You just need two forms of identification. Bring in a bill, your driver's license, your previous one. You have to be at least 18 years old, but 17. You can vote if you're 17, if you will be 18 by the time the general election occurs. Very, very simple to do.
If you're listening in Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, or Indiana, I'll have Andrea tell you about those states coming up here in a few minutes as well.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
You and me, we come from different worlds. You like to laugh at me when I look at other girls. Sometimes you're crazy. And you wonder why I'm such a baby, cause the dolphins make me cry.
I always like that song, but if you listen to the lyrics, they're really stupid. I'm such a baby, the dolphins make me cry. It's the Miami Dolphins. He's a big Miami Dolphin fan.
You see the Brian Wilson story? He wrote a song when he was in high school, and he got like an F on it or something. He got a failing grade on the song that he wrote, and then it went on to become a monster hit. So he went back now, and he got them. The school has changed the grade. Like,
well, that's great.
40 years later,
I heard Howard Stern talking to somebody, and Stern's apparently a big Jimi Hendrix fan. And apparently, the song "Let Me Stand Next to the Fire," you know that Jimi Hendrix, "Let Me Stand Next to the Fire," you know that, was written because he was visiting a friend and a dog was standing next to the fireplace and the dog was kind of growling under its breath and it was cold and he wanted to stand next to the fire.
Well, if you think about it, Neil Diamond songs are all pretty dumb. I mean, there's not the bad grammar. They're just, I am, I said. What the hell is that?
Cracklin' Rosy.
I know.
It's Forever in Blue Jeans.
I guess it depends. Yeah. The great songs, but if you look at them on a piece of paper, I could see you turning it into a teacher going, here's my song. I'm going, yeah, this doesn't make any sense. There's nothing
Can you imagine if you become a hit artist and you're responsible for, say, 10 albums over the course of your career? About five albums in, you're probably out of ideas.
It's true.
That happened to Prince a lot. Prince was pretty prolific, but some of his stuff was not good.
Tuesday. That's a song, you know, because it's Tuesday.
Or Controversy.
I like the stories behind songs, too. Like, I was just listening to Me and Mrs. Jones. We got a thing going on.
Yeah.
What a great song.
Right.
It's about a guy who, the songwriter, was in a cafe, and he'd see this couple every morning.
And he knew they were having an affair.
Get together, and they have an affair. And they would meet in the morning, And then they would separate, but they'd have this really intimate, sweet coffee breakfast in the morning at this one cafe.
That's cool.
We mean every day at the same cafe. 6:30. I know I'll be there.
I know she'll be there.
I know she'll be there.
I like band names, too. Like Hoobastank. They said that was the big thing of how they came up with this name.
Yeah.
And I think it was something like one of the guys sneezed, and it sounded like Hoobastank. So it means nothing, but they like the sound
how
that it
dare
made.
You question band names.
I know.
All of my bands are real.
They are. They're legit.
John Williams is here. He's on every day from 1 to 3 on Saturday. What's the Saturday time?
I'm mad at you, and here's why. We have been calling Dick Durbin's people every single day.
Yeah. You have, because you came in the newsroom.
I know, and you said
that, yeah.
Oh, get him if you can get him, because we're trying to get him, too.
No, I didn't say that. I said, well, we have him exclusively for the Steve Cochran.
That's right.
Remember?
She said, don't try, because we got dibs. Right. Sorry, Andrea.
You know, I don't do dibs. You still do dibs, don't you?
I used to get into dibs arguments around here, but I don't
think
really
if you can get him on the air, get him on the air.
I do, too. Look, if you're on 1 to 3... You don't have dibs.
That rule.
You don't get dibs.
You know who changed that rule with CNN? CNN would run the same guest every show after another all day long.
Yeah.
But no, Durbin will come on with you.
Yeah, no,
eventually.
Well, he's always... Literally, we sent him a note or talked to one of his staff members last week, and I just said, Elif, my producer, I said, send him this. Are you mad at us?
Right. Why do you hate me?
And I know that Durbin's really been the center of the storm lately, so he literally, like we said... We need 5 minutes of his phone anytime in the next 24 hours. We will take 5 telephone minutes in the next 24 hours. They said we can't do it. Then I turn on the radio. He's on with Cochran.
He was on The View yesterday.
No, he was not.
Yeah.
Well,
he was.
Is,
no, I'm being very serious.
Who, Steve or Dick Durbin?
Both, but Dick Durbin.
Yeah, Dick was on first.
And, you know, and I guess he should be because it's a national issue, but it just bugs me. And, God, I hope his staff isn't listening because he's our senator.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like literally, I know CNN calls, you say yes, but if you're going to prioritize things, I think the station of record in Chicago is WGN Radio and Steve Cochran in the morning. That should be your first call.
Right. Yeah.
And I do mean that. That's, I think, an obligation.
I agree with you. We took us a few days longer than we would like, but he's always good for access, and we appreciate that.
He's got the soundbite down.
And
he's,
I think
always
he's been,
a good interview.
Yes. And he's been a stand-up guy about this whole thing, whereas everybody else other than Lindsey Graham really hasn't been, and he's only been partly a stand-up guy. So
I just want all those Republicans, if we can get a better health care bill passed, for them to get something for their hearing, because all of the Republicans had a hearing problem, evidently.
That's a great point, but not a memory problem, because their memory came back.
Yeah.
They forgot totally in the beginning, and then they remembered.
Yeah. I don't know if hearing aids are covered. I'm not sure how the plan works, but we need that.
Walter can work. We can send Walter. He can work something out for them.
Hey, I'm Walter Jacobson, reporting live. I hear everything fine.
He endorses him now.
Yeah.
All right, before we go to this break, and I want you to hang out a little bit here, because I think it's important that you and I explain something, or we explain something collectively here.
Okay.
And that is, yesterday, the President of the United States, because really there's not much going on, he had his poppycock fake news awards.
Yeah, I'm debating if I should even give it time on my show.
Well, I totally agree. But I think people need to understand how a story is curated, how it ends up going from a lead to a reporter getting sources to a story getting on the air.
Absolutely.
Because in the same way, whatever your business is, let's say you're a welder. There are certain standards as a welder you have to adhere to properly weld things.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you're a teacher. There's certain standards you have to do to teach.
Right.
There are standards in any legitimate journalist operation.
Mm-hmm.
Because behind those major companies, whether they be CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, whatever, New York Times, Chicago Tribune, there's lawyers. There's lawyers who want the company not to be sued because some reporter went off half-cocked and did something they shouldn't have done.
Right.
Now, mistakes are made, as they're made in anything. But the fact is, there is a very specific business process and specific ethical process that goes on with journalists. And I think one of the reasons this fake news thing has gotten so much traction is people have not heard the other side of it. And they don't stop down to think, well, maybe they don't just make things up.
It's absolutely infuriating to me, as a journalist and with a journalism degree, to hear the term fake news.
It's ridiculous.
It's a false term.
Humans make mistakes, and in a competitive environment, sometimes you don't get the fact exactly right in the heat of the moment. At least 8 of the 11 stories that he pointed out were retracted or corrected.
Right.
Immediately.
Not, some of them within less than 60 minutes.
Yes.
And some of them are tweets. The one about the bust of MLK in the White House right after the election. Within less than 60 minutes, the reporter who tweeted it said, oh, it was behind the door. A guard was high, was in the way. My bad. And it was right. never printed
they owned
as
it.
A story. And,
they
yeah,
it.
They yeah. admitted it.
And one of the stories he did not reference, or they did not reference, whoever came up with this ridiculous list, was the story that Fox News was breathlessly reporting on Seth Rich. Seth Rich, the DNC campaign worker who was murdered, and it was all tied into a conspiratorial thing and a payoff from Russia to get back at the Clintons. And the family who lost their son had to have that dragged out over and over again when there was no, absolutely no tie to any of it.
Yeah, he didn't call Sean Hannity out on that, did he?
Right.
No, I don't know what to tell you about that, Steve.
Also, too, and I know, I don't know if we'll, this wasn't in there, obviously, but there was a picture. Cecilia Vega is a reporter for ABC News who's
that's a nice
fantastic.
Job.
She's been on the program here. She's excellent. Fox News put a caption up of her yesterday. She was asking a question at the media availability, the White House news conference that Sarah Sanders has every day. She's just asking a question, and Fox News put up this headline under her caption, and it says, "Media goes mental."
It's just ridiculous.
And she, you know, she took issue with it for a multitude
ridiculous.
Of reasons. But
well, I thought if the president has 11 things that are really making him stay awake at night because these are such big media lies, and one of them is the MLK bust in the White House after the inauguration, I thought, wow, I was underwhelmed. I thought, that's been addressed. That's all you've got? That's amazing to me.
And the Washington Post put out a list a week ago of 2,000 documented lies in the first year of the Trump White House.
How about the first day?
2,000.
Yeah.
Andre, are you suggesting that he told 2,000 in the first day?
No, but how about...
Because that would seem to be fake news.
How about inauguration day? With this is the largest inauguration.
That was the first one.
Ever.
That was the kickoff.
The first day.
That was the kickoff. That was the opening ceremonies for Liopalooza. More coming up with John Williams, 1 to 3. By the way, Saturday, what time are you on?
10 a.m. to noon.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to hear. 10 to noon on Saturday, 1 to 3, Monday through Friday. And also available by appointment on Sunday. Back with the news next on 720 WGN.
Leaving Chicago, gonna take my show, WGN to Nevada. The first time to visit in the city of sin since the day I became a granddaddy. There's a game between the Blackhawks and the new Golden Knights. I know we're going golfing when we land from our flights. The Cochrane temp is hot and the sun will be bright. Steve, Las Vegas.
Key change.
Steve, Las Vegas. Steve, Las Vegas.
Music of John DeCoster. John nearly blew out a vital organ when he tried to hit the Elvis note there and decided to go low instead of high. Steve in Las Vegas, hit the jackpot with your best Blackhawk snapshot. We'll take you to Las Vegas under you and I and Sandberg and one of our management types, or as I like to call her, babysitter, Stephanie, will be with us.
Yes.
Because you know how wild I can be. I mean, I may be up till 10 o'clock.
Isn't that
crazy.
Chaperone? Isn't that the term?
We're chaperone. Him. Actually, when Stephanie was telling us, she said, all right, she had different things planned and dinners and stuff. And she said, and she turned to you, Steve, and said, and then you, when you get up from your nap,
true, that's exactly what she said. You got to keep in mind, I may be 56, but I've got the social life of a 75-year-old.
That's true.
So, upload a photo showing your Blackhawks fandom at WGNradio.com/contests, and you could watch the Blackhawks and the Golden Knights in Las Vegas. And, of course, also coming up, it's 9:13 right now, also coming up on Sunday, March 11th, the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb. Be on Team Dave Ennett. Or I guess there's a Team Patty, too, right?
I thought it was Ennett to win it.
Well, that's what it's always been. But
well, I'm just saying.
Yeah, I guess there is. Sure.
Yeah.
But Dave would like you to sign up for his team, unless you suck.
No, even if you do,
everybody.
It's okay.
Yes.
Because you're there for a good cause.
And raising
Steve,
all the money you can to fight for healthy lungs.
You and I think are the strongest competitors on the team because we're making the monetary donation.
I told you. Here's my contribution. I will show up on Tower 1.
Yep.
And I will take the elevator to the top and wait for you.
And hand him the check.
I will give you a check, take the
water?
Elevator back down, and go home.
There you go.
How about some water? You could be the water boy.
There's water all over. Are you kidding?
You can help out.
I'm not a water boy. Whether you're 5 or 95, everybody can participate. Climb 1, 2, 3, or all 4 towers, 180 floors, 2,340 steps. Register a pledge online at WGNradio.com/events. Fightforairclimb.org. At 9:14, John Williams is here, 1 to 3 daily and 10 to noon on Saturday. All right, so here's, I just want to run through this. Right. Because what you and I do is different than what Andre does on the weekend at Channel 9 or what our news people do here. Mm-hmm. So two parts to this story, and this is counter to this nonsense fake news, nauseating crap that's been coming out of the White House for the last year plus. When you have a lead on a story, mm-hmm. or when anybody who considers themselves a legitimate journalist has a lead on a story,
right.
before you can report that story, we always hear about two sources. What does that mean?
It means you, well, first of all, I always tell students you check your sources and you double check and then you triple check. So what it means is if you get a lead, it's a story. Say it's the El Salvador story that we got a few weeks ago. So we had heard that the Trump administration was going to overturn their stay here.
Their protected status.
Their protected status. They were going to have to go back. So that when I walked into the TV newsroom, they said, this is your story for today. Go. Okay, well, first of all, I have to do the background. You have to do a little bit of research on start with the earthquake. 2001, the El Salvadorians came here. They were granted protected status. So you do the background. You do the research. You read up on it. First thing you do then is you have to find someone to talk about it. So you go to the El Salvadorian community. You start making phone calls. You go to your contacts. You can Google anything and everything now. Make sure the person is legit that you're going to be interviewing. Do the full interview. Get the facts. Put the story out there.
And a secondary source, because the independent of the first source,
sure.
is to confirm that the first source is telling you something worthy of reporting.
Absolutely. It could be an elected official. It could be someone that you've interviewed in the past before, someone with a reputation out there. Anyone legal, you know, you can take a legal advice. You can interview lawyers. But in other words, you have to do your research. You have to do the background. You have to do the story and ask the right questions, which you guys do as well.
Well, but here's the difference.
There is no benefit to putting a story out there that is false or making something up, because you know what? That only hurts you. Then your credibility as a reporter and a journalist gone.
You're ethically bound, but you're also contractually, and by the way, even if you don't have a contract, you're contractually bound by your employer to do the job in a way that is not going to create a legal problem for the people that are involved in the story you're reporting.
Right.
The bottom line is you can't make it up. Now, here's the difference in the way you and I do things, John. As talk show hosts, we aren't bound technically by the same journalistic ethics. But if I go on the air, or you go on the air, and just shoot our mouth off about something that's absolutely not true. If I go on the air and say, J.B. Pritzker won't do an interview here because he's a criminal. He's an absolute criminal. And I have nothing to back that up. J.B. Pritzker could rightfully pick up the phone and call here, or have his people call here, because that would be his move, and say, I want that to stop immediately, or I'll take some sort of legal action or reason to make it stop. That's a talk show version of fake news, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, and I think the hard part these days for consumers, and frankly for us, is distinguishing between the two.
Yeah, it's great.
I think the president gets caught up in that. I think our listeners and the viewers get caught up in that. I think the administration does. An informed opinion host, a Steve Cochran, is a different animal than an Andrea Darlis. And yet you hear them on the same station and the same day part. CNN runs into this.
Sure.
Fox is the same way on the other side. Was that a news report that I heard, or was that an opinion by Sean Hannity, or was it?
So it's understandable why people can be confused.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the times are really different now, not just with CNN, but also with the MSNBC Fox News, you know, with Huffington Post and the Drudge Report. You know, you have these spectrums, and it's hard to know where you got it. And if you did get it from, like, Huffington Post, I think, is a good example, too. You read stuff on Huffington Post that I feel compelled to then double check.
Sure.
Sure.
And
Absolutely.
That's a quote unquote legitimate news site. But I think their bias is so transparent.
And social media now, too, John, if you throw that in, just because you see something on Twitter doesn't mean it actually. That's how we found out Roger Ebert died. Somebody tweeted that Roger Ebert died. So immediately our newsroom here at the radio station and at the TV station, you start calling. You start confirming it.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just go by someone's
tweet. Line, look,
you have to confirm it.
That's just it. The bottom line is there is no upside to just shooting from the hip. I don't care what your agenda may or may not be. Do reporters and talk show hosts have political beliefs? Of course they do. But if you take a job and you're employed at a handsome or a minimal salary by someone, you're taking it with the understanding that you're not going to put that person's license or business in jeopardy. That's the umbrella that you work under, your ethics and your responsibility to the people that pay you. Now, there's a third piece of this, and that's the anonymous sources. This has been thrown up as something that immediately delegitimizes the story. The White House uses anonymous sources all the time. Here is what an anonymous source is. An anonymous source is someone who gives you a news story but refuses to have their name attached to it, because the only reason they can give you the news story is if their name isn't attached to it. It doesn't delegitimize what their material or what their content is. You still have to check it out. You still have to find out if, in fact, what they're saying is true. But the responsibility for it to be true doesn't change for you, for the reporter, for you and I, the talk show host.
And both sides use that. I mean, the press uses that, sources that won't go on record but are informed, but the Obama administration and this administration will also anonymously tell things to the media because they want it out there,
right?
But they don't want to put their name on it. Either they're floating an idea or it's absolutely their plan, but they just don't want to attach it to anybody per se. So they use the media that way as well.
Right.
I mean, it does go both ways.
And if a source burns you or gives you misinformation, you'll never use them again. And it goes both ways. If you tell someone that's wrong, I'm not going to use them, and they're not going to tell me things anymore. And then
all right,
you lose
your
job.
But I also want to allow everybody to the opportunity to make a mistake, right? I mean, human beings do.
And there's a difference between making a mistake and flat making something up. And in your lifetime and mine, I can remember one incident of a Washington Post reporter, one of a New York Times reporter, and possibly one other sloppy piece of reporting. And all of those people, and this is a Rolling Stone, and all of those people were fired.
Right.
They were fired because the business was put in jeopardy, not just their own careers.
I want to see a list of what is and isn't the fake news media. Like, I know you hate that phrase, Andrea, but I think we all interpret it to mean negative reporting about the administration. That's how.
In their definition, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So is that always the New York Times? And is it ever, I don't know,
Fox?
Yeah, right. Someone, I suppose Fox News it is not. I'm trying to think of somebody that, I mean, so in other words, is the president saying, and I'm serious about this, the New York Times is fake, the LA Times is, the Chicago Tribune is? Really, like if Rick Pearson says something, would the president deem that to not be true as well? Because it's with a major news organization? Literally, what?
If it's negative, it's made up.
But he's saying, I don't know, it seems to me like I'm interested in the sources. The president is saying these sources are fake and can't be trusted. And it's CNN and the New York Times and Washington Post. But is it all of the big news operations?
Well, look at how he comports himself and how he handles the day-to-day job, which, again, I maintain the biggest problem with this guy is not just his moral issues or his lack of character, is that he really sucks at the job. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest issue. Here is what he does on a day-to-day basis. The New York Times is fake. The Chicago Tribune is fake. The Washington Post is fake. The Wall Street Journal is fake. 2 days later, he gives them an interview.
Right.
It is. All of them. It is or it isn't. The Wall Street Journal, who has generally written favorable, right-leaning pieces.
They're very friendly to him.
Yeah, and owned by Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah.
You know, a, quote, friend. Mm-hmm. He gave him an interview the other day. He didn't like some of the things in the interview. He's now calling them fake news. So judge accordingly, but please do not spread the BS of fake news because it's something easy that you think you could agree with without considering your own job.
I've always said, yeah, fake news is a fake term.
It is a fake term, but I mean, I have friends, and we all do. We have friends who we respect, you know, we love, who will throw around the fake news term. And I would argue, let's say you're a veterinarian, you're a doctor, you're an insurance agent. What if I just start saying you're a fraud?
You're a fake vet.
You're a fraud. I don't know anything about how your business is done, but I've just decided that you're a fraud, and I'm going to start telling everybody else you're a fraud. When you take something as important as the media in this country, which was given the constitutional protections it was given so that we wouldn't have dictators running this country, and you propagate this notion of fake news, you are hurting all of us. You're making it worse for all of us.
That's kind of curious. If you took every doctor who had a bad outcome or whose patient didn't get well as quickly as they'd hoped they would, and then we all started to say, hey, you know, Dr. Smith, fake doctor.
That's
you know,
a great analogy.
And it's like, we don't do that, and that's we know that's not fair to the doctor.
Right.
More or less.
Right. So if the
but
words,
it's okay to do it to the media.
If the words fake news come out of your mouth, ask yourself how you'd feel if John Williams or Steve Cochran went on the air today and said your name and you're a fraud.
Right. Absolutely.
Without any basis in fact in it. Mm-hmm. That's the danger. Nice to see you, John, as always.
I'm going to go upstairs and
write some stuff that's not true.
Write some stuff that's true, drink this cup of coffee, and get ready for 1 p.m.
You want to plug something today?
Oh, you know what we're going to have is one of those. There's a mass exodus at the National Park Service. One of the members of the National Park Service board is going to talk to us about the health of our national parks. And are they going to raise the price on entry and stuff like that? Why'd they all leave?
They all left like him once, didn't they?
Yeah, about eight of them just said, we don't want to do this anymore.
John Williams, 1 to 3 today, 10 to noon every Saturday. Thank
Toodles.
You. We did get some responses under, quite a few as a matter of fact, to the question of the Fire and Fury book,
mm-hmm.
if you cast the movie today.
Yes.
Bring back John Candy. He's a fabulous Trump. Be a big story if you could bring back John Candy.
Yeah, exactly.
John Goodman would be good.
That too.
Oh, yeah.
Trump's hair, cousin it. Any questions? Gary Busey should play Trump.
Oh, that's a good one. That'd be a good cast.
Kevin Spacey could come back as Trump's hair. Nobody'd see him there either. Ron Howard, Trump's hair, but he'd narrate it like he would in Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah.
Bobcat Goldthwait. That's a it's an older reference, but funny. And Stormy Daniels, this is the porn star that Trump is alleged to have had an affair with. Stormy Daniels should play Ivanka Trump in Fire and Fury. This is an exceptionally creepy bend to this story because Stormy Daniels has just granted an interview to In Touch. There again, In Touch, not the bastion of journalism, but In Touch. And Stormy Daniels' interview said that after having sex with Donald Trump, he referenced that she reminded him of his daughter.
Yeah. I think it's enough said.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Happy to have in studio Tommy Kleinschmidt, local hoops legend. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
You look good for an old guy.
Thank you very much. I am old.
Right up old age of 44.
Yes.
And for those people who remember you from the high school days, when did the school change names to DePaul Prep?
2014. So we partnered with Gordon Tech, partnered obviously with the university, and in you know, we've been DePaul Prep ever since. So it's going very well. Great partnership with DePaul University.
And DePaul College Prep is announcing the retirement of your Gordon Tech jersey. That's pretty cool.
Very, very humbled by it. Honored. You know, we've had Olympic athletes, professionals, Division I athletes in all realms. So very honored to have my number retired at Gordon.
And Tom, not only is your number being retired, but you've maintained an active role at DePaul College Prep as the head basketball coach and director of admissions, right?
I am, yes. I'm the head basketball coach. We got a nice program, got some great kids in the program, mm-hmm. and then obviously as the school has changed and the Catholic schools in the area have grown with the change in the neighborhood, I am the director of admissions, and we're getting great Catholic school families, well, public school families, staying in the neighborhood instead of traveling to high school. So it's worked out fantastic.
Well, we know you can play. You had a great playing career. You're doing a nice job of coaching. Are you going to bounce back to college hoops at some point?
I don't know. I'm
never say no.
I will never say no. I like what I'm doing now, but I always do like to be challenged. I would love the opportunity to coach in college. I did it for a couple years at DePaul University under Coach Wainwright and Coach Tracy Webster. Learned a lot, and it really propelled me into high school and gave me some confidence and you know, want to challenge myself. I would love to go back.
College, or I should say high school athletes now, different than when you were in high school?
You know, they say they are. I think the parents are different. I think the adults have grown. The music has changed. And the clothes have changed on the kids, but I think the kids have really stayed the course. They want to be good. They want to play up levels. They want to be coached. They know if you can coach or not, you know, if they're buying in or not. I think the parents have changed a little bit.
Parents meaning change positively or negatively?
Depending on the parent, but overall, maybe a little bit negatively. I'm sorry. You know, they want instant gratification. They want it now.
They want their kid to play
varsity right away when they're not ready. If it doesn't work out, they're ready to jump ship. I shouldn't say that about all kids and all families, but it's a growing trend.
I coach my kids all the way through school. I'm sure John did as well, and Dave. And I always said to the parents at the beginning of every season, whether it's baseball or basketball, it's not about you. It's about the kids, and it's about them having fun and learning the game. And if you become a problem, you can't be a part of this. And if you get them young, like the old DARE program, if you get them young, maybe you can keep them from getting into trouble. Can you change the path or help a kid that's got a problem parent by the time they're in high school?
It's difficult to learn behavior, and it kind of trickles down to the student, student athlete. But you can change it by just continually teaching, showing good habits in practice, and being a great mentor to the kid. But it's difficult. It's difficult on a child. I feel bad for the kids sometimes. The kids know it before the parents know it.
Sure, so
it's difficult at times. But
what was the highlight for you going to state as a player?
Yes, it was definitely playing with playing for Coach Steve Pappas, who passed away.
Mm-hmm, sure,
he was a great mentor to me. I try to, you know, use the lessons that Steve taught us and our team, and that was a highlight for us. Playing with the teammates, we had a fantastic team. We had five Division I players on the team, and obviously, I'm sitting here. I get a lot of recognition, but it couldn't have not have been done without those guys on my team and Coach Pappas.
There's a Tommy Kleinschmidt scholarship at school, and I understand a nice chunk of money's been raised.
It has. They've done a nice job. Kids in the community, families in the community, faculty and staff, and then some donors really helping. It's going to go towards financial aid and giving the kids an opportunity to get a great education.
We congratulate you, and we remind people DePaul Prep in Fenwick ought to be a dandy at DePaul College Prep. Pregame ceremony honoring you is at 6:30. Tip-off is at 7. And that is
next Friday.
Next Friday night.
26th, yes. I'll play Coach Malnati in Fenwick. It'll be a great game. Looking forward to it.
Now, what number is getting retired?
34. 34.
It's a great number in this town. a lot of guys have worn it with distinction.
It does have some history, doesn't
it? Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. Congrats, Coach.
Thank you.
Wish you nothing but the best. Stay in touch.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure and an honor to be here. Thanks.
Absolutely.
Busco right in front of something.
Go. 3, 2, 1.
The Steve Cochran Show presents Breakfast with a Blackhawk, sponsored by MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
MB Financial Bank brings you this conversation. The great Eddie Olczyk. Good morning, my friend.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm just working my way back home. I was in Stamford, Connecticut last night doing a little studio work for NBCSN for Wednesday Night Rivalry, and just making my way back home. So nice to be out, and I got 34 more days of treatment, so we're knocking them off the calendar. So
kicking cancer's ass.
Yeah, we're trying. And again, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank everybody for all the support, everybody over there at GN, and obviously my family, my friends, and obviously the Blackhawks, John McDonough and Jay Blanc checking in on me all the time, and the entire organization. And it's been incredible, and my incredible team of doctors that I have been just every day has been, I've been very lucky and going to continue to grind away and stay upbeat and just know that I got three more treatments to go and 34 more days till the last time I'm unhooked and hopefully put this in the rearview mirror for forever.
So and I know you've been inspired by your wife again and again and again.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, she's been there every step of the way, and she's had her own medical battles here over the course of the last 6+ months. And but I'm a lucky guy, both at home and at work. And she's been, you know, she's been there every step of the way. So I'm very, very thankful, very lucky, very blessed, and look forward to getting healthy, all of us, and turning the page and making 2018 way better than the last couple of months, and were of 2017.
You know, it's funny, and we all know this to be true, the older we get kind of thing, but sometimes you have to go through the worst thing in the worst things in life before you truly realize how great your life is. And
yeah, I mean, that's a great point, Steve. And, you know, look, I know, and there are a lot of people out there that are listening now everywhere around the world. I know there are a lot of people out there that are way worse off than Eddie Olczyk, and I understand that, and I see a lot of those people when I go to Northwestern every 2 weeks for my treatments, or see people in my travels, or get letters or cards, or, you know, I'm not very good on that thing called email, so I, you know, I mean, I hear their stories, and I pray for them, and I want them to know that there, you know, there are people out there that are, you know, that are pulling for them. And you're right, I mean, the true colors of someone or some team or some, you know, a company is not when things are great. I mean, it's easy to be a good guy when you're scoring 5 goals and you win 15 in a row, or you've got 3 shutouts in a row, or the ratings are through the roof. It's when things are really tough is when you really show what the hell you're made of. And, you know, it's been a grind. And, you know, just keep battling, keep believing, and keep leaning on the people that are close to me. And that's been the greatest part of this, is that I just, the support has just been over the top. I mean, the fan base at home is just, I mean, I'm just amazed, and I'm very, very thankful, and I won't be able to thank everybody, but...
Well, consider this a step.
I want everybody to know.
Yeah. Sure. And we're going to get to the hockey here in a second, but before we do that, I know one of the things that always makes you feel better is when I shut up and Andrea starts talking.
Hey,
AD. Enzo, I love you. I miss you. I love watching the... the piece that Channel 9 did on you was so wonderful. What really struck me is that I think now you're reaching out to people. You're becoming an inspiration, not just for all of us and in broadcasting and the hockey world, but all over for those either fighting cancer or other diseases. And something that resonates with me, and I think women and men, young, old, all ages, is get checked. You know, go to a doctor if you feel pain. Yeah. And that's kind of the message that you're sending now.
Trust your voice.
Thanks, AD. I mean, I think that's what I've tried to do here, and I think that's been a rallying cry or rallying point for me, and it's really helped me, is that I my goal at the start was to help one person get through this battle that they're going through, or prevent somebody from having to go through this hell. And anybody that's been touched by cancer, and sadly it seems like everybody has, but you know, like you're right. I mean, if you're not feeling well, it's okay to go see a doctor. I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you come from. I don't care how much you have. You know, like for me, I just happened to get sick. And, you know, thankfully I went to the doctor, and thankfully I was able to catch it, you know, before it spread into the, you know, into the heart of my soul and the belly. And, you know, look, I mean, I'm not out of the woods by any means, but like, I just really feel that it's been one of the reasons why it's helped me get through this process, AD, is that, you know, I want to try to tell my story just for the fact of, hey, you know what, like it's okay to get a colonoscopy a little bit earlier, maybe than what they prescribe, or if you feel something, is to say something. And I'm hoping that I can save one person from having to go through this, because I would never want anybody, regardless of how tough they may think they are or whatever, is to have to go through this. And it's really helped me get through this last, you know, I guess this last 4.5 months and 34 days to go, and keep grinding away, and want to continue to be an inspiration to as many people as I can, whether they know hockey or they don't, or they love horse racing or whatever it might be. I want to try to continue to inspire people and keep them away from this horrible disease.
Health, horses, and hockey. That's what you need, the three H's.
That's it. Eddie, good morning. And I'll echo what Andrea said. You are indeed an inspiration. But it's good to talk to you, man. All right, let me get a little hockey in here real quick.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
All right, so the Blackhawks haven't said anything officially about Corey Crawford. Right. Obviously, the comments yesterday by Scotty Bowman, regardless of what's happening, let's just look at the outlook for the Hawks. If it's true that for a long stretch here, they're going to be without Crawford.
Right.
So what do you do?
Well, look, I mean...
Two goalies.
Exactly. I mean, I think that, you know, I don't think the Blackhawks are in this position, David, because of their goaltending. Like, I think the goaltending has been
I think the goaltending has been good enough. Like, I mean, Corey Crawford was on his way to an All-Star game, by the way, before he got injured right before Christmas. Like, he was playing lights out, and Crow had a lot to do with the where the Blackhawks were playing at that particular time. Yes, he's gone down. You know, Forsberg and Glass have come in and done a nice job. I don't think the Blackhawks are sitting where they are because of the goaltending. I think that they have to, you know, you hear the word urgency. You hear the word about, look, you know, there's not a lot of time left. They have to go on a run, David. Like, I mean, they haven't been able to do it so far, but they got to go on a run where they win 8 of 10 or they go 12-3 in a stretch of 15 games. Because right now, you know, you're not only looking at the wild card positions, but you're also looking at jumping over, you know, 2 and 3 other teams, you know, that are ahead of you. So, you know, I think, you know, it's a finding that consistency, you know, win 4 or 5, lose 3 or 4, you know, win 4 or 5, lose 2 of 3. I mean, that's the way the season's been all year. And you just got to find that consistency. So, you know, for me, goaltending is, I don't think goaltending has anything to do with what's going on. Look, your chances obviously are much better with Corey Crawford. We know that. And you probably, as a player, David, you probably play a little bit different when you have a guy back there that you know and you trust, so to speak, because he's been there and he's won the Stanley Cup and all that type of stuff. So I think it goes hand in hand. But I think for this team here, look, you need some guys to play way better than they have. And you got to get some guys to go on a run, and this team's got to go on a stretch, because it's going to be a battle moving forward to get one of those wild card spots.
MB Financial Bank question from a listener. Claudia Cass writes, do you think in the future you'll ever see a female athlete compete in the NHL? When you think about how good the Olympic teams are, can you see that in our lifetime, Eddie?
Anything is possible. I mean, we had, for Claudia to know, and I mean, look, I can't remember yesterday, let alone what the hell happened 25 years ago, but there was a women goaltender, Manon Rion.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
That played goalie, I believe, for Tampa Bay in an exhibition game. So, you know, look, to play professionally would certainly, at the NHL level, I mean, would be, I mean, a task and a half. I mean, it is a tough game. I'm sure there are a lot of women out there that would love to get that opportunity. So I would say never say never. But we have had a woman goaltender partake in a hockey game back a handful of years ago.
Look at you referencing. How about that?
Well, I mean, you know, I've lost. Well, first off, I've gained a lot of weight during this procedure, so I can't. I don't know if you got a direct line to Oprah. Maybe she can hook me up with her new, her new deal or whatever. So that's the first thing. I'm kind of lost a little bit of the locks up top. They told me I wasn't going to, so I'm a little bit disappointed in that. But I think if anything, I think maybe my whatever brain or brains that I had before have gotten a little sharper with all this time.
I gotta tell you, and I'll let you go on this, but I think of you as Ali, still pretty. Remember Ali used to say that all the way through? He'd go, look at me, still pretty. That's Eddie, still pretty.
I second that.
Thanks, Eddie. Maybe purdy, but I don't know about pretty.
Next time we talk horses. Thank you, buddy. God bless.
Okay, Gay, love you guys. Thanks.
Love you, Enzo.
Eddie Olchek and MB Financial Bank. MB means business.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Can't help but notice that, Bill, you haven't complimented me on my new headphones.
Your headphones look fantastic.
Oh, you don't need to bring that up.
No, they do. They look fantastic.
Please.
Who's doing your headphones now? Who's dressing your headphones?
Well, I haven't finalized the deal yet, but they're from a little company called Target.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Things are going good.
How are you?
I'm fine.
What's coming up on the show?
Really good. Steve, I'm pleased to tell you that at 10:35, Michelle Poehler will be with us.
Michelle Poehler?
Yeah, she's coming on at 10:35.
And what is Michelle famous for?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing?
Mm-hmm. Not really.
She won a contest or something?
No, you know what she's done? I admire her for this. She had a bunch of different things she was afraid of in her life, so she invented a thing called 100 Days Without Fear.
Where and she did all
day,
of them?
She struggled. Yeah, she battles one of her fears.
What are you afraid of, other than me?
Needles.
Oh, that's right.
Afraid of needles.
You and Ross Cochran.
Yeah, he's got the same. But he handles it differently. He just passes out. I wish I had that ability.
Oh, you don't pass out?
No, I get violent.
Yeah, you do.
Do you really?
Yeah. You've been banned from a couple doctor's offices.
Yes. Yes, I have.
You, for people that don't know, if you listen to Bill and Wendy, Bill's one of the nicest guys. Bill's like that off the air. Yeah. Nice guy.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, he's a drinker, but a nice guy, funny, easy to get along with, and yet you'll slug a doctor.
If a doctor's coming at me with a syringe.
And you can, because Ross is this way, my son, you can intellectualize. It's just a stupid little needle.
It's ridiculous.
It doesn't mean anything.
It's not going to hurt.
But you have no control.
None.
Yeah.
So that's
needles.
Just one of, she had 100 fears, and each day she tackled one of them, and she's a better person now.
You don't want to know what I'm afraid of?
Yes.
Monsters.
Monsters are scary, Steve. Yeah. You have nothing to be embarrassed about.
Some
there.
Some closet, maybe.
Yep. They're the worst.
I'm going to go look now.
All right. This is Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com.